back, WNST, Taos in Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I have a Baltimore Positive story for you. Amidst this crazy Maryland Crab Cake tour where I'm gaining a little salt weight, a little iodine weight, as well as picking up some bad gastronomic habits here during August. I'm listening to some music. I've been out on the road, and when Dennis gave me the Coons Ford Bronco last week, I was rolling down, listening to some serious. And y'all know I love music. You know it's my life. You know, I was a music critic doing the Almost Famous thing 4 decades ago, and anytime I can get a musician on, I do. I don't get excited by most of this anymore, sort of starstruck, but this cat is fascinating to me because I think serendipity has been the word of the Crab Cake Tour this month, and I guess it is serendipity that this guy from Baltimore, but a man of mystery and great pipes, and in a band that I love, when people say to me, "Hey, Ness, what are you listening to these days?" And I'm like, I listen to Duran Jones and the Indications. For a number of years, I've been telling people that. Aaron Fraser of Baltimore, of Brooklyn, drummer and sometimes singer of Duran Jones and the Indications. It is a pleasure to welcome you on Baltimore Positive. I appreciate you taking a little time. Dude, I've waited a long time. And get the band back. You're coming next month. I got to get in line, right?
We're coming. We'll be in D.C. I always lobby for Baltimore. You know, I always lobby for the Auto Bar, but sometimes they route us to D.C. instead. But, you know, I'm happy to be here. How about them O's, you know?
Well, let's start with the Auto Bar, because I want to give you my little journey with your little band. And I think everyone should listen to your band. I think they should buy your records. I think they should support you. We saw you on like the CBS Morning Show how long ago was that? 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Yeah, it was probably about 3. Yeah.
Okay, so we saw it, and I'm vacuuming in my condo. This is where I live. I live right at the harbor, you know. Vacuuming, like, whoo, that's some sweet soul. That's some R&B. What's going on with that? And I'm like, take a note, you know. We Google you up, and we're like, my wife's like, dude, they're playing the Auto Bar, like, next month. I'm like, let's go to the Auto Bar. Haven't been to the Auto Bar since I was young and sexy. So we went up to the Auto Bar, and we had a miracle that night about Chinese food, but I'll tell you about that later. But we went up to the Auto Bar, we went in, and my wife winds up like jamming with this beautiful lady that's a few years older than I, let's say. And we're jamming, we're, you know, Duran's doing his thing, you're doing your thing, you know, everybody's doing a thing. It turns out your grandmother, you know, like, so my wife winds up meeting your family, and then we find out, like, oh, dude's from Baltimore. I should get him on the show. So it took me 3 years, but here you are, Aaron Fraser of Baltimore, running into your relatives at your show. Tell me your story. What's your line, Aaron Fraser?
Man, yeah, every time – I like to tell people every time I play Baltimore, it feels like my bar mitzvah again because because my whole damn family shows up to the function. Which is fun, but a little stressful, you know, when you're like doing your thing and your grandparents are sitting in folding chairs at the front of the stage or, you know, whatever.
They sing along?
I wouldn't say they sing along, but they're engaged. They're active listeners, and I appreciate that.
Dude, you're not doing death metal either, right? Like, I've been up to New York to your burg a couple of times in the last couple of months to chase Bruce Springsteen around because that's my jam, and he's telling his life story about his parents listening to his music and whether they accepted it or didn't accept it.
Yeah.
Your music's beautiful, man. I guess it's sort of timeless in any era. And that's what I tell people. If you like music, if you like Marvin Gaye, if you like, you know, if you find yourself listening to good music, you know, you're going to love Duran Jones. And that's what I tell people.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's kind of like the nice thing about soul music is it cuts across a lot of different, generations and different kinds of people, races, like, you know, even political spectrums. So, like, you know, the nice thing is, like, our shows have been a place where people who are different than each other, like different from each other, can still come together and like share something. And honestly, right now, other than sports, I think that's extremely rare.
Don't think people come together on sports, bro. I got out of that. I've been doing that 30 years. Trust me. I've written books on that. Aaron Fraser's my guest. He's with Duran Jones and the Indications, but also your solo thing. Before I get, give me as much of Baltimore as I need to know about, because, like, you have a Baltimore background. I don't. I'm from Dundalk, right? So I'm the kid that grew up interviewing rock stars and chasing athletes 30 years ago. I've been doing this thing, and I've expanded to kind of talk about people's stories and their and where they come from. And I feel like your band's on the come and on the way. And I watch you. I subscribe to all your stuff. I'm a little bit of a weird groupie at the Brooklyn Bowl in New York and whatever. But I don't know much about anything about your band other than I love the way it sounds, man.
Yeah. Let's see. I grew up in Owings Mills.
So did the Ravens.
I feel like I definitely got to see the Ravens franchise, like, you know, on the way up.
When did you start drumming?
When I was nine years old, and I started learning from a guy in Mount Washington. Shouts to Larry Levy if he's out there in Mount Washington. And he just taught me a lot about, like, you know, how to learn in different styles and how to use my, you know, a lot of ear training, just kind of like, I don't know, just to appreciate a lot of different kinds of music. And I fell in love with hip hop, and through hip hop, I found soul music from, like, the sampling, you know, from songs sampling, I don't know, soul music from the 60s and 70s.
Like, I'm a little older. Sampling was, like, such a dirty word, right? Like, there was, it just was your borrowing, do your own thing. And rappers did it all the time. And it was misunderstood, you know? I mean, I guess you could go back to Run DMC and, like, Sugar Hill and whatever Breakthrough and all that, that's well documented now. Yeah. But it is interesting that that was your hook. That's what, I mean, I think about that with Phil Collins. Like, who would listen to Phil Collins or Genesis or whatever, other than that drum beat being sampled becomes the most sampled drum beat in the history of the universe, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and so I started in high school, like, going to Goodwills, you know, and going into the dollar bin and looking for songs to sample myself, because I loved hip hop so much that I wanted to, like, make it myself.
You mean vinyl?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And then, you know, from there, but the Goodwill dollar bins in Owings Mills are a little barren, you know, perhaps. They're okay. It's just,
you know,
like,
the subway, come downtown, you probably can find all sorts of stuff, you know.
Well, that's kind of, you know, what happened is eventually I found my way down to, like, Fells Point, and I found this record store called Guru 2. It was, like, down this alleyway behind this building, this little, like, shed where this guy had just, like, stacks of records. He's like, he was this old, really grumpy dude. And I like that. I mean, shouts to Soundgarden as well. That was another place that I really loved to go. But that was my introduction to really finding soul music for myself, was just going out there and digging and just, like, following my eye first, you know.
What were the five things you're looking for in those bins? What were the acts you were looking for that struck you?
Well, it wasn't, like, specific acts that I was looking for. It was like, this record looks cool. This guy, I like the way this guy looks. I like the font that they were using. This thing looks cool. And a lot of times, if you go into a record store and you just follow your eye, you'll find that, like, a decent amount of the time, that will guide you to something that your ear likes as well. You know, I know they say don't judge a book by its cover, but actually, like, that is one way, when you're just digging for records, for new stuff, to just follow your eye and be like, this
There's
looks
no doubt people found Pink Floyd because of the cover and then
absolutely
the band. Yes.
100%. Like, and, you know, and there's so many jazz records, and I don't know, you know, like Curtis Mayfield or Gil Scott-Heron, like people like that, Smokey Robinson, like those were people that I came to just by following my eye. And then they wound up being guiding musical forces in my life. You know,
I ran into Smokey Robinson in the Louisville airport the day before the Kentucky Derby. You never forget where you were when you run into Smokey.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I mean, that's, Aaron Fraser's here, Duran Jones and the Indications. Sweet. R&B and soul and bringing a new album, and it's all over. Like, so give me your solo thing and give me your band thing and where you are right now and how people can connect with you and your beautiful music, man.
Yeah. So I guess, like, so I moved out to Indiana, and I met Blake Ryan, the guitar player from the Indications. And, we started making like rock and roll music together. And, but we both loved soul music and loved hip hop. So we kind of knew we wanted to go in that direction eventually. And, so maybe like 3 years into that rock and roll band, while I was living out in Indiana, we met Durand, who was going to school for classical saxophone, but, turned out he was a great singer. So we started hanging out every Sunday and making soul music together. And, that's kind of how the Indications started.
It's amazing to have more voices, right? And like, egos always take over, but I see so many more of these ensemble acts, Lake Street Dive, you know, other bands like that, that truly are ensemble in a way. I mean, I'm an old rock and roll fan where like two guys in the band are allowed to sing kind of like the Eagles. You know what I mean? Like you could, I have an Eagles story for actually, you.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the Eagles are a great, kind of like reference point because they're all great songwriters, you know, and with the Indications, it's like, we have a lot of great songwriters and just a lot of creative energy. So one person doesn't have to carry the whole band. And so, you know, we started making music like that. And anyway.
So you started in Indiana?
In Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. And is that still base? Is that home for you at this point? Or are you more of a New York kind of act?
Well, two out of the five of us are in Brooklyn. But we all kind of split up because we didn't expect for this to be our career. You know, we were just doing this to have fun. And so when we put out our first record, that was kind of it. We like played one show and we were like, put out this record and we were like, we did it. That was awesome. We had so much fun. That was great.
And all had jobs and lives and like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then the records sort of through the record stores started to take off in this very organic way. And we were like, oh, shoot, we might have this opportunity.
This 17 or 18, like this is very recently, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the album initially came out in 2015, I think, but then it got re-released 2 years later by a bigger record label who kind of heard it and felt like there was more life in it.
In those 2 years, you're not gigging. You're not like driving around in a trailer playing gigs, right? You're just...
Well, I was in Brooklyn. Like I was gigging, playing 3 hour. I was doing at that time I was playing between like 21 and 25, like bar gigs a month, with different bands,
just playing drumming
and a little bit of singing. But, I was just nickel and diming my rent, you know,
like just doing covers and standards, that sort of thing. Yeah, like I walk into a bar, you're the guy, you know, with a stand up bass and playing,
and the
right?
tip bucket. Yeah. And a tip bucket. So
that's beautiful, dude. I want to put, so let me tell you a story to paint your ears a little bit. Cause my wife and I went to New York right before the plague, a year and a half ago, and it's cold winter night. And we went up to see the Eagles and they were playing Hotel California, which they're back doing now. Right. Like all that. Tickets are expensive, but anything at the Garden is worth it. Right. So we come up to the Garden. And the day before, I realized you guys were playing the Brooklyn Bowl. And you were the fallback plan. You were the rain check since you went real on me, right? So we get up to New York, get a little food in us, get a beer. We're feeling our mojo. We're in that little bar next to the Garden on the corner. This is life before, it's a month before COVID, a couple weeks before COVID. And tickets went the wrong way. Like the man went it crazy. We thought we were going to get in for $100, $150. Tickets went to $250, $300. I'm like, we're out. Mm-hmm. We bailed on the Eagles. We went downstairs. We got on a train. I had two of the best slices of pizza I've ever had in my life. I came up the tube. I got a slice of pizza. We came down to the Brooklyn Bowl. I paid the $26 or whatever you guys charge for the bargain that you are. I bought a couple of beers at the Brooklyn Bowl. We completely grooved out with you guys all night. And I came back. I got another slice of pizza because it's New York and it's like that at 1 a.m. And then we went back into the city and it was like, You never came to see the Eagles at all, and we loved our night with you, and it was a better night, and we saved dough, and you sing prettier than Don Henley does now. So there you have it, Aaron Fraser. How about that, all right?
That's one for the trophy case, man. I appreciate that very much. But, you know, it's a small fraternity of singing drummers, so I
But like, go back to your band, because we referenced the Eagles and where you are. So your band isn't like – it was a for fun thing. The album comes, you're gigging. Yeah. The CBS thing must have changed. Did that change your life? What you put you on my radar? I don't know what else to say, right?
So basically, so we put out this record, and it was received really well by the like vinyl throwback soul community, which is like 300 people, you know what I'm saying? Which is like 500 people, which is great. But that was beyond, you know what I'm saying? Because for us in Indiana, we felt like we were the only ones in the world who enjoyed making that kind of music or collecting that kind of music. And so when we put out that record, it connected us through the internet to this community in the US and a little bit around the world of people who were also passionate about soul music. So we felt like that was a success. We were like, man, everybody who loves this kind of music, they've heard this record. And, you know, a booking agent heard our music through a record store. He walked in and the guy, you know, behind the desk was like, dude, you got to hear this. And he got in touch with us on the internet and was like, yo, so I heard this record and I love it. And then I look at your touring history and you've played one club in one town in Indiana. Like, what is going on? Like, what is this project? So he was like, let me book you a tour of like LA area shows. So we went out there, played a couple shows. It went really well. And then he booked us like one more tour to go down to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. And that was how we got on the radar of not only a management company, but a bigger record label that weirdly we're actually based in Bloomington, Indiana, where we formed, but we weren't on the radar at the time. But they were the ones who were like, let's re-release this record and plan you like a big national tour behind it. And so that's what kind of actually got the ball rolling.
That's where I found you at Auto Bar right around that
time. Yes, exactly. Okay. And that is what led to basically, well, I wonder, because that was like a re-release of our first record. And we toured for like, we basically for like a year and a half, we just went on tour nonstop. And that's what set the stage for our second record, which led to our national TV appearances on CBS This Morning and the Jimmy Kimmel, like the Late Show, or what is it, Jimmy Kimmel Live. Carson Daly and Good Morning America, like those kinds of things. So that was kind of the progression. And then,
did you know each other well? I mean, as humans, probably not, right?
Who?
The band. You know, you know what I mean? Like, I'm older, right? So I've interviewed all these bands 30 years ago that have broken up, and girlfriends and money and drugs and like all the behind the music. I find it fascinating, the friendships that hold businesses in your life and your livelihood together, that you guys aren't 18 and drunk in a band and heroin addled. You know, you come from a whole different way of looking at this, that it was almost accidental. And I know a lot of sort of the grown up bands, the Black Keys and these different types of bands made for grown ups become stars as grown ups in a way that, you know, maybe when you're 17, you're not meant to do it, or maybe it just becomes a bad B movie later on. But the friendship and whatever it is, what the relationship to your feeding yourselves is important, you know, and maybe there wasn't that.
That's really interesting. You know, Blake and I, the guitar player, we had known each other for much longer than we had known Durand. Because we were in the same major in college. So we met each other pretty much like day one. But Durand, you know, we didn't know for that long before we made this record and put it out, our first record. And I will say, when you tour, you get to know somebody in a completely different way, because it's an absolute grind.
It's living with them plus.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting in a van with somebody and everybody getting sleep deprived and sick. And, you know, it is really a thresher. And so you get to see people, you know, you get to know them at their best and their worst. And I think in a way it's like, that's one very specific kind of knowing each other. But at the same time, you know, like Duran now lives in San Antonio and he has a life there that's like not on the road. So in a way, like he has friends out there that know him in a different way. So I don't know. It's an interesting question, but yeah, I mean, we're definitely friends. We became friends first and then started making music together. And that's still the foundation of who we are.
Probably why it's gotten this far. Aaron Fraser here, Duran Jones in the Indications. He does solo work. He sings. He used to gig on the side, but the band's getting big. They're hitting the road. Hershey starting this thing off. And I came up to New York one time. I don't want to bust your chops too much, but I came to New York one time and the timing was wrong. Like for the weather, I showed up at Central Park thinking you guys are playing in like the afternoon. I was seeing Streisand at the Garden and I was disappointed, but then I saw you at the Brooklyn Bowl and he made everything all right. Everything's cool, but you're about to go back out and do this again, right? So give me Plague Life over the last 18 years. Man, it sucks for everybody, but I would think it really sucks for a guy who was passing the hat 5 years ago to try to make a living and then have a band on the ascension. But there's also something about art and artistic reach during times of being stuck at home. You probably made some good stuff the last year and a half. And now hopefully Delta variant, you know, notwithstanding and mask and all that, you get to go out and do what you love to do. Right. And show it to everyone.
Yeah. I mean, the last 18 months have been challenging for sure. But at the same time, I feel very lucky because I feel like I've gotten to be a musician throughout the entirety of it. And I know a lot of people who have had to put that on hold and had to go back to, you know, I've worked a lot of day jobs. I've worked a lot of day jobs in restaurants, bakeries, hair salon, answering phones, like working at like a online clothing company, doing customer service. Like,
what's the best job you ever had that wasn't drumming and singing in a band?
That wasn't drumming and singing? Honestly, the very last one I did before I kind of cut the safety net and could say I legitimately quit my day job, it was the customer service job at that online clothing company because I think they really got it. They hired people. Basically, the entire customer service team were people. It was like comedians and actors and artists and people who had that job as like a side gig. And so everybody kind of had this understanding and the people who employed us had this understanding that it's like, this isn't your main focus. So they weren't pushing us to do anything more than like, you know, answering,
be
doing
nice
the stuff
people.
You have to do. Yeah.
And help people, like people.
And I think that, you know, the truth is like, I think a lot of corporate culture right now, especially in a city like Brooklyn is like, it's a cool office where it's not just your employees. It's like a family and you're supposed to hang out and stay after work. Nobody's really asking you to do that. It was kind of like, come in, do a good job, clock out and pursue what you actually want to pursue. And I appreciated that.
Aaron Fraser, I appreciate his music and the new album and new tunes, Duran Jones and the Indications. They're coming to DC. You're going to make Baltimore happen at some point. I mean, you're going to go around the world and do this thing.
Of course.
Talk about new music.
Though,
go ahead.
I will say, though, just for people listening, if you want to come see us in D.C. at the 930 Club, that's on September 11th, it's almost sold out. So if you want to see us, I'm not just stoking the flames. Like, I want you to come see us. You know, I want some Baltimore people in the crowd. So don't sleep on the tickets because it's going to sell out.
One of the issues I have is Baltimore guys, the Ravens open a season in Vegas that week. I'm supposed to be, it's on my calendar, supposed to be in Vegas. I'm not sure. The Hershey thing's definitely on my calendar. Yeah. New music, new album, where you are. I don't know what direction when you're sort of, you're doing this timeless, ageless music to say, where do you go with it? Or where will your taste move? You have put together another thing that you have another avenue to do other music. But when the band gets together and does band stuff, tell me, you know, how that happens at this point, certainly during the middle of a plague.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was tough during COVID. We had to take a lot of precautions, you know. We, like, everybody, like, isolated in their respective towns and then tested and then waited for the results. And then everybody drove to meet back in Bloomington, Indiana, where we all formed, you know. And there was something special about, like, while this craziness was going on, to kind of, like, take shelter together. We all stayed at this one recording studio and slept there. And I don't know, it's kind of like taking it back to where it started. And that's where we wrote a lot of the album together, was in Bloomington, Indiana. But we also, before that, were sharing emails back and forth of like, here's a demo. Okay, here's a vocal idea that I laid on top of the demo. Here's a bass line that I added to it. So a little bit of like emailing back and forth, but there's no substitute for like being together in the same room and working on those songs together.
Well, I wish you luck as you get out on the road. The Hershey Show, September the 4th, Harrisburg University at the Inglewood. Also playing in Philly at the Union Transfer on the 8th. Tickets are available for that. Brooklyn Steel on September 10th and then down in D.C. on the 11th of September. I've always wanted to have you on. I've always wondered. I love your band. I'll continue to promote your band. And I hope that you have a lot of success coming out of this. But I felt the worst. It's one thing for my old school classic rock guys. You couldn't go out and play their places. You guys felt like you were really on the ascension on this thing. And I hope that the momentum continues for everything that you're doing. I am hearing the song. I think there's a genre now with Black Pumas and other bands sort of moving into that. My wife listens to all sorts of bands and Spotify and different things, that there is a place for people to discover bands like Duran Jones and the Indications, right?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And I mean, you know, this tour is the biggest shows that we've ever headlined. So again, feel lucky that after feeling like the rug was pulled out from under us, like, you know, that we can kind of pick up where we left off. Feels good. I feel lucky.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. Rest your pipes, my friend. You'll be singing. We'll be listening. And please do not be a stranger to the place I call home, the place that your bio called home, even though we consider Owings Mills, Dundalk, Towson, we're all in it together. You know what I mean? I mean, the Orioles and the Ravens all need us. You know what
no
I mean?
Doubt. No parts. Doubt.
And do you eat crab cakes or are you a vegan type?
You know, so I didn't grow up eating like shellfish.
Okay.
But I have gotten to experience it more later in life, the lobster and the crab, and definitely keep my bottle of Old Bay, you know, close at hand in the kitchen. And nice. I miss the burger cookies. That's what I will say.
Burger cookies are your thing. It's easy. That's easy enough. All right.
Absolutely. I also love the Otterbein. That's kind of like my go-to, cause I like a crunchier cookie. But yeah, I mean, I always love the Charm City Creamery whenever I'm downtown. And I still, you know, Popeye Soundgarden when I'm in Fells Point. Shouts to Normals, actually near Johns Hopkins. That's a great record store.
Keep going, man. I love free plugs for great places, man. That's how we grow stuff, you know?
Yeah. Normals is fantastic. Obviously, Paper Moon is like, you know, a great spot to hit.
Man, you come to Baltimore, I would take you some, I would show you some stuff, but that's why the crab cake thing. I'm doing this crab cake tour. I'm doing 30 crab cakes, 30 days. When you come to town, if you ever want to get a crab cake, continue the conversation, talk about music, sing some songs, you know, like have some fun, make a crab cake roast out of it or something like that.
That sounds good, man. Sounds good.
Thank you very, very much for your time. Very generous. And keep doing what you're doing, man. You're making great music.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Putting Baltimore on the map via Brooklyn, via his band in Bloomington, Indiana, and coming to a town near you. Please, by all means, grab Private Space. That's the new album. Please pick up the older stuff. Check out the website. It's DurandJonesandTheIndications.com. Aaron Fraser of Owings Mills via Brooklyn hits the skins and sings a little bit too, but I'm going to save him from that. We'll sing some songs together next time. Thanks for coming on, brother. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Aaron Fraser, we're on the road for the Crab Cake Tour. The hashtag is Crab Cake Tour. Very easy. All over Maryland. Did the Southern Maryland part. Headed west to do some fly fishing with my fly guy, Dan Rodericks from the Baltimore Sun, later on in the month. Back to the Eastern Shore next weekend in Cambridge, the Oxford Ferry. I'm even having Smith Island cake on Smith Island. You got to take a boat to get there. It's a long story. It'll all be on video. And if you want to know where those crab cakes come from, my friends at J.M. Clayton allowed us in to watch the Olympic picking sport of these insanely talented ladies from Mexico who pick those delicious crab cakes we all eat. Find it all at BaltimorePositive.com. I'm Nestor. Email me anytime. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, anywhere you are. We are. WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive, and Duran Jones and the Indications off my bucket list.